John Law, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other's flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. When we asunder it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Mark, if you'd like to come receive the offering tithes this morning.
Help us to receive all that you have for us today, Father God. Bless Brother Sam and strengthen him. And bless the whole five-fold ministry here in Louisville, Father God. Wash us clean by the blood and forgive us of all sin and iniquity in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord.
Let's look over number 228 in the spiral book. Jesus, hold my hand. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Pilgrim land, protect me by thy power, and hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy thine, and sing redemption song someday. For I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go, and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power, and hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim, toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. For I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. For there's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Land, protect me by thy power, and hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim, toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. For I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. And hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. I know I'll meet him there, don't you? Let's all stand at this time. Now I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come in response to reading.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank God again to be able to come back together to worship.
Amen.
It's always a pleasure to be with us in this house. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 111. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful again, Lord, to be back in your house of worship. Father, we pray that you will continually be upon our minds and our hearts. Father, let us always love one another and pray that you will strengthen where we are weak. Lord, we ask you to uplift us and to guide us. Lord, anything that comes into our hearts, Lord, that is not of you, we pray that you would remove it from us. God, wherever we walk, let us know that you are our strength. Lord, and there is no weakness within you, and let us walk and pray and be the same as you are. We ask you to bless those that are in Sunday school classes. Lord, give them strength and understanding. Father, we ask you to bless our pastor, Brother Dale, this morning, Father, and just give him the knowledge to bring forth unto us that which you would have us to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein.
His work is honorable and gracious, and his righteousness endureth forever.
He hath made his honorable works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen.
The works of his hands are vanity and judgment. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness.
He sent redemption unto his people. He commandeth his covenant forever, holy and reverent in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good man understanding all that they may do. Commandments. Praise endure forever. God bless you. Be seated.
Turn over to 237. That's 237 in the spinal book.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. You feel a little prayer will turn in. You'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. And I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes may fill with tears, but Jesus' friend watches day and night. And I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk when Jesus makes it right. Amen. Never hurts, does it? Amen. Let's turn over to 244. Heaven's Jubilee. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the saints and dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. It's going to be a glorious time, isn't it? Let's look over to number 261. Just a little while to stay here. Thank you.
Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, all the beauty is there to stare. Well, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through those pearly gates. Soon we'll raise the light of morning, then the new day will begin. Soon we'll hear the Father's calling, come my children, enter in. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven's throne. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. And we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through those pearly gates. Soon we'll meet again our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Soon we'll press them to our bosom, over in that promised land. Then we'll be at home forever, throughout all eternity. Oh, what a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be. Oh, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this slow and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Soon we'll meet again our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Soon we'll press them to our bosom, over in that promised land. Then we'll be at home forever, throughout all eternity. Oh, what a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be. Just a little while to stay here, path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state.
Every day, doesn't he? Let's turn over to 266, just right across the page there. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. Heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he lived, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the Jordan River, and I'll find life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death, it gives way. Because he lived, all my doubts and fears, they're all gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my doubts and fears, they're all gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives in me. Amen. Let's all stand this time and we'll change the order of the service. You ready to hear the word today? I know it's going to be good. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes,
has opened the eyes of my heart.
I want to see again.
I want to see you. To see you.
See you, don't you? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading from Ephesians 1, and we will be in Revelations 13. Ephesians 1, Revelations 13. We had a great time yesterday at the fall festival. Everybody seemed to enjoy and have a good time. The kids got a chance to play and to do and fellowship, so we appreciate everything. We thank everybody for taking a part, you know, the cooking, the working, the fixing, the doings and all. We certainly appreciate all of it because it was a good time, you know, and we thank God for all of the doings. As normal, Brother Al and Sister Anna done a good job on the chili, so it was good and we had a good time in that. Amen. Now, remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. Remember that. And then this coming Sunday, which is November the 8th, will be Brother David Gadman will be with us from Alabama preaching for the weekend. All right. Then Brother Joe Green will be with us on the following Wednesday, which is the 11th of November, to minister unto us. Now, check all of the monitors and the things, and you'll find a lot of things in there, updates on times and what we're doing and the things, you know, so just remember that and do that. And if you missed any announcements, I want to thank everybody for all of the cards and the letters and things about the pastor appreciation, and we appreciate all of you and appreciate you letting us know, you know, and that helps us a lot too. So we thank the Lord for it. Amen. Ephesians 1 and Revelations 13. The Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, that we could just take a little time today and sit down and think about you, that we could fellowship around your word and that you could speak to our hearts and our lives and bring us to an understanding of you and bring us to a fellowship together in love for you. And we pray that you'd bless and guide each one. You promised it, that you'd be with us and that you would, the word would come forth and the sick would be healed by the word. And we believe it. And we thank you for that. So remember all of the sickness among us, Lord, and the things, you know, the needs of the people, and just touch each one. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thine understanding and keep us, Lord, in your loving grace, in Jesus' name. We may be getting our sound back on our system again, so we tried to do without it the other day. But anyhow, we'll work on it. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known, now watch, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, what? After the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and what? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right, Revelation 13:8, and says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain when? From the foundation of the world. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now we're still trying to stay back in a, trying to follow it. We'll get this. Something has happened to all of the systems, and they all get all messed up. But anyhow, it'll all work out. Is that okay? Is it working? Now then, we got it. Now we got it. Everything okay? Everybody can hear? We'll go back to the old standards and use the standards, I guess. All this new modern stuff gets too much technology in it. All right. But we've been speaking for quite a while now about and trying to understand why God would make man as he did in Genesis 1:26 and 27. And we've stayed with that now for quite a while, and we'll keep on for a little bit until we get the understanding, because that was a very special man that was brought into being back there. We use the word create because what else can you do with human words? But really the best way of saying it would be to, that man was brought into being. And that way you're not making it like we use the word create. Because we think of the word create, non-existence, all at once, God does something, he takes something, makes something. Well, that's not exactly the Genesis 1:26 man and 27 there. Because it's made in the image of God, which would mean that it is exactly in his likeness. So then whatever God is, the prophet said, we find out what God is, we know what man is. Right? So then man was there created, not everybody. The prophet would say everybody wasn't back there. And he'd say, if you wasn't back there, you never will be back there. That's as plain as he could make it, because he said it in order of understanding for doing. And see, then that man that was back there was God in another form or moved over, just as he did the word that began to create. When he came down, he condescended downward into letting us understanding him and bringing it to the word. And the word then created all things. So then if that man was, that Genesis 1:26 man would have been the Word. All right, that's what I've tried to get you to follow, try to get us to understand, and looking at it in the order of believing it, and we were talking about it last night. See, our biggest problem is we don't believe what God says about us. Now, that's the best way. I'm talking about myself. We just don't believe what God says about us. It's like I've always said, and it's wonderful too, that Martin Luther, there's no telling how many times he spoke on the just shall live by faith. He may have done commentaries, services, you know, things on that, and brought out great things, you know. But one day it just come off that page into his heart. Well, then when it did, he says, the just shall live by faith. It never changed anything in the scriptures. It had always said that. But it was not made known there in that time, because you have to say in that time, because back with the apostles and things, they understood that the just shall live by faith. But in that time it had been lost, but when God spoke it, then it's revealed. Well, what I want is this message revealed. All right? Because if it's not revealed, we're just doing things. And like Brother Branham would even say, he said, as long as it's laying on the pages of this book, he said, it can be questioned. But he said, once it's taken off the pages into your heart by revelation, it won't be questioned no more. See? It's not a point to, can you be deceived? If you're truly a born-again Christian, you cannot be deceived. Now, you can be hindered. And I'll quote Brother Branham, and I always do on that point. He said, frankly, it'd get the bride confused and he'd have to cut the work short. And I think that's probably about the age we're living. Now, if you don't, you ought to think a little bit about how everything's going on. Because a lot of people are in mass confusion, and I'm not going to de-Christianize anybody to say they're not a part of the body of Christ, because that's not up for you and I. That's between anybody and God. All right. But trying to understand that man and knowing that that was one man there. All right. So it says, let us make man. It's not mankind. It's not everybody. Now, here is the hardest part. Everybody in the world, because of being a human being, is in a form or image of God, yes. Because we're above the animals, we're above all of the things. But that's not the man that you're speaking of in Genesis, that you're speaking of in the image and the likeness. Everybody, Brother Ryan said, even though you're lost, your soul is a great something to where that, you know, if it was possible or wouldn't kept from us, we'd just create a world and go live on it. Well, they're just about to the basis they can do those things in the natural, because they can travel, they can do things, and there's people out there now sitting out there, you know, in space that's living, all right? And all they'd have to do is go to another planet and try to find one with a certain thing. But if they can't find it, you just build one. You know, that wouldn't have bothered me. That's what I said to you. It wouldn't have bothered me when man went to outer space and first landed on the moon to have found a city up there. That wouldn't have bothered me, because the Bible had already said, as it was in the days of Noah, a great scientific age, see, was back there. That's why they could tell him that it was not going to rain. See, they had been up, down, they'd done all kind of things. That's as much as you can believe it. All right. But now, trying to get to this, seeing this man, then this man is a one man because it's Christ. I hope you're following that man created in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is not a physical human man. The prophet explains it. He says, then what was created of the 1:26 and 27 was placed into Adam, the Genesis 2:7 man, you know, built out of the flesh, I mean the dirt and things. All right, put in that and said Adam became a living soul. And Brother Branham in blasphemous name said eternal life into Adam. All right. Now, then Eve was still left, see, the part when it was put, part of that being that you would want to speak of there in Genesis was put into Adam. Eve was still, the prophet said, in theophany. Well, then when she was created, what happened? That stepped into her. I don't understand why we can't understand that, because I thought that's what the new birth done. I thought the new birth took you and me as peoples, but yet cleaned out that unclean thing and then gave eternal life into us to making us like Adam was in the garden. Because Adam was standing there with a mortal body that needed to be made eternal. All right. I don't understand why we can't follow that. Right? But I do, because I know the statements and the things that are made, and you know, I know that I'm bad to make statements to make you think, and I want you to think. But I'd like for you to think in the right directions, because we get it all figured out. And we say, one certain brother used to, and you could talk to that brother all day long and quote him all the quotes of Brother Branham and spend a whole day with him. And when he finished the day, he'd say, well, why did he say it? It didn't matter to him what was said. He finished the day at the same wording that he started the day with. Why did he say it? Well, you can go back and find Brother Branham talking about, let's stand and address the third person of the Trinity. Right? Well, see, there's some things you got to have this straight common sense to figure out that it can't be true. Because he's got to be saying something that we're, you know, that's not coming off the natural words that you're hearing, because he never believed in a Trinity. All right? But see, the word then is so written until the wise gets confused about the letter of the word. All right? And knowing and seeing that, you know, the word says so and so, and they follow that. And they will not accept any way that anything can be any different from what they read. You know. All right? But it's all got to go together and make a picture. Well, there was a lot of things that we couldn't get together. We're still, without the prophet, we still can't get it together. I mean, that's the whole thing. But you just think how mass confused mankind was as to the truth of God's word. It had been lost down through the dark ages and come out to being, you know, just whatever basically anybody thought about it. Uh-huh. The letters on the page didn't change, but man's ideas. Well, then God began to reveal. All right? And as he reveals, it takes the veil off of our eyes from the scriptures that we're reading that hasn't changed wording. It's changed within us to bring us a place, you know, to a place of understanding what is being said. All right? And then that way, see, you can start with understanding the scriptures. All right. Now, we tried to cover this past Wednesday, speaking about it in the terms that Brother Branham would use, and he'd say Eve was in Adam in theophany. And said, then Adam was put in, theophany was put into flesh, you know, and he became a living soul, and Eve was still left here, then she was put down here. It's just an expression. All right? Now, you say, well, did Adam and Eve have the same soul? Because you teach and believe and try to get us to believe that your soul is your theophany. All right? That's what your prophet taught. That's why I believe it that way. Is because that was the way he taught it, all right? And in doing that, I'm trying to stay with what he said, but with all of what he said, not just taking some idea from here and here and here. I'm trying to come back to the scriptures with it, to where that you can get in there and have some idea of what truth is coming from the Word of God, all right? And see, then, knowing that Brother Branham would say, in the Hebrew book, there, page 80 of the old Hebrew book, paragraph 278, I think. But anyhow, he says, your soul is your theophany. All right? Well, see, it was simply means soul is being a person of who you are. All right? Sinner or saint, you got a soul. That's what you are. You're a soul. All right? And we read where Brother Brown said, one is taking you downward, but then when you're born again, see, it's taking you upward. Well, what's any problem with the sinner having a body, soul, being to be in when he leaves here. He's not annihilated. But yet, Brother Branham will say that there's no such thing as a literal burning hell. But he'll describe the regions of the demons and in a position that the souls of the lost mankind goes to. And then he comes up and describes the regions of the Christian. All right? Well, see, everybody's got a place to go once we leave here. Sinner or saint. Your soul is going somewhere. It's not annihilated. It's going to some position or situation, you know, to wait until a time comes. Why? Well, then he goes beyond the curtain of time. And the angel of the Lord, we gave it there, used it. I believe it's souls in prison. Said this is where it said souls under the altar, you know. It's the souls that he saw. He saw souls beyond the curtain of time. And they were in a body. But that body was not a physical body of flesh like we are. It was the theophany. And he could see them and feel them and talk to them and all of those things, right? And see, then that would put you, your soul, as your being. Whether you're going downward or whether you're going upward, it's all your being. That's what you are. All right? It's you as a person. All right? And it's made way to where that we can go to those things and believe it. All right? See, then, souls under the altar as being the born-again believer. And there's your theophany. All right? But what people don't want to follow is the line for that going on. See, they want to think that my theophany's up there. Well, the Bible just simply says that it's in heavenly places. Well, then the prophet will describe heavenly places as a believer's position here. And the only thing that I say is one point. The Bible says if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have one waiting. Eternal in the heavens. All right? Do we have eternal life up there? Or do we have eternal life down here? Well, some way you got to get the connection between the two. Now, that's all I'm talking about. That some way they got to come together. Because if you have eternal life here by the new birth in your soul, do you have a body up there waiting? Or was it like Abraham met him and fed him and Moses saw him and Jesus' soul was his theophany. Amen. That's what it was. He went to hell, the prophet would say. Soul, theophany, being of his person went to hell. Well, then why can't we believe it that the prophet says what? He said, he came here with you and him. But see, we in the message want to turn it around. We want to come here with him and us. Now, that's not scriptural. We want to come here with something in us. We've got to make something to get it related. I'll be good on one man, and I'm not throwing off on him. I'm sincere as I can be and loved him and all that. But he told me one day, he said, I'm going to be there because I love the prophet's family. And said, you remember the prophet said, you love my family. Said, you know, you'll be there. Something to that degree. Well, I didn't want to throw off on the man because that's all the man had to hold on to. I mean, was I going to tell him? Man, you're all messed up. You're lost. I'm not that dirty. You may think I am, but I'm not that mean. I think I'm a human being. I don't want to take away from anybody their thoughts of what they put their religious salvation part on. And if you say, I spoke in tongues and all, that's great. But I'll just say, I don't believe it's the evidence. Because Brother Branham will say it like this. Some spoke in tongues and got it. Some spoke in tongues and didn't get it. Well, there was some spoke in tongues that got it. Okay. He's not making it the evidence. He's just describing the situations we go through with. All right? And I'm not going to try to take that away from you. I'll try to encourage you to move on. Like we were talking about last night, I heard the other day, listening to Brother Branham, and he said, you could have things to be able to bring people to the altar, paraphrasing his wording, and getting them saved. He said, but if you're not anchored in that word, you're not right. Now what about a preacher being able to get people to come to the altar and them be saved? But yet he's not right because some way he's holding off on the word. All right? Listen to your prophet as he talks to you. But remember now, that way all souls were not created. I've ended this up Wednesday. All souls were not created before the world as beings, people, because then the prophet said, I don't believe in preexistence of souls and reincarnation. That would be in the mind of God. All right? In the mind of God before the world ever begun, he knew everybody that would ever be in the world. We'll get down to those things and we drop over into time with it as we begin to continue. See? That God would know every person in the world. And everything. All right. And in his mind, those people would be just as real. Because remember, his thoughts are eternal. Now, not everything he thinks of. Right? He thought of the sinner in his ways of being. You can't make him eternal. Right? So then there's a lot of difference in just being in his mind. I've told you over and over, I don't want to be just in his mind. I can be in his mind and be lost. But if I can find out how I can be a part of him inside of me and how that got there of eternal life, then I don't have to worry about it. All right? And that's what we want to get in today now to where we can pick it up because I'm a firm believer in predestination. All right? Because I believe in a God that is capable of predetermining all things. Don't you believe that? Amen. Knowing all things and predetermine it. But the way he does it is so marvelous because he doesn't predetermine the sinner to be a sinner. If he did, he would never be able to be saved. And if he did, that would make God a respecter of persons. And that won't work. But yet he knows all things, omniscient. Amen. All right. See, then I'm trying to get us to go back further than just say, well, in his mind. Because there's no way to understand the 126 and 27 man to just talk about in his mind. There's no way to follow the prophet in the message the way he teaches if you just stick with the point, well, it's just in his mind. It was just in his mind. What about being a part of the mind? That's what I want to be. I don't want to just be the thought in his mind. I want to be a part of the one that was doing the thinking. I don't want him to just think of me. I want to be a part of him. Don't you? Don't you want to have eternal life? Then if you have eternal life, that eternal life is a part of God. Right? Well, see, then being a part of God, it's not just something he's thinking of. Right. Amen. See, you can't go with Brother Branham on Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, where he said God had a plan and a purpose that he was going to see it achieved. You can't go that under just foreknowledge. You know, in his mind. If you really understand the word foreknowledge when we get to it, fine, that's fine. Because God predestinates by his foreknowledge. All right? But what about things happening before the world? What about back before the world? Well, it was just what he thought of. See, now, there you going with the idea that, as Brother Brown said, it's not like a man with a blueprint that he's drawn up that one day will come into substance. He said, that's not correct. He said, God's thoughts are eternal and part of him, and he's never had another thought. Well, I could let it go this way, but I better do it this way. I could do it this way, but I could. No, God doesn't do that. One thought, and that's it. He can't change his thoughts. Now, did you got the quotes where Brother Branham will come up and say, what? If you wasn't back there, what did he say? If you wasn't a part of that word back there, he said, you never will be. Now, is that his wording? See, now you're getting into things that requires understanding. We were talking last night a minute about it, but if I ever get around to it, I want to preach on the masterpiece. Because out of the masterpiece, Brother Branham says, actually, and makes the statement, he said that Mary was not deceived. Now, what's he talking about? When Mary, he says, represents Azusa Street Pentecost. He said, but she was a carrier. See, he's not saying that Azusa Pentecost was lost and not saved.
That's right.
Amen. But they were carriers.
Right.
But somebody's got to become the Word itself.
Amen. That's right.
To give birth to the Word is one thing. That's where basic to the people of the message are right now, and you listen to them. They come to a situation, the preachers, and they'll cut off about giving birth to the Word. We got to give birth to the Word. We need to give birth to the Word. We need to find a live seed. We need to birth the Word. That's in the Word of God. That's wonderful. But Brother Branham doesn't explain it that way on Masterpiece. Somebody's got to be the Word. Well, that was God. Well, there's got to be a place somewhere for that to be made manifest by somebody, or we're not going to walk off this earth. We're going to stay here. All right. But think about it, because I'm a firm believer in predestination. Why wouldn't you be a believer in predestination? Well, I don't believe it because it puts it to the basis that he predetermined something. If he can predetermine his own eternal life, what you got a problem? You got an argument about it? Take it up with him. That's why he says, a thing formed can't say, why did you form me this way? Because he didn't form you that way. He formed you, you went that way. Right? Nothing wrong with the word predestination. Brother Brown spoke words written in the seed, I was giving it to you the other day. He said, being predestinated and the seed coming forth, something, paraphrase, he said, I never saw that before. What about a prophet after all the years of preaching? He's seen something that was deeper than the thoughts he had had. Why can't we believe it? All right. But listen, we've been reading the Ephesians 1 there for quite a while, you know, on our doings. And I told you that we'd get back and break that down. All right, let's break it down just a little bit, and they'll put it up on the screen. But let's go back and just reread Ephesians 1, or that we can look at the scriptures and watch it. He's talking about the heavenly places right before the end, you know, and the things. But look, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen. It doesn't say he chose us before the world. If he chose you and not give everybody else an opportunity, he's a respecter of persons, and you've missed it. Now listen, we're going to be serious. It doesn't say that he chose us. So now when we get to it, where the disciples that he was there, and then it does say that he chose us, don't let your mind run back. Well, he did say that. Listen to what he's saying. According as he hath, past tense, hath chosen us, were in him. That's not you choosing him, and that's not him choosing you as you think. The choosing is in him. Now watch. When? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Watch. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according what? To the good pleasure of his will. Now his will is his word. His word is his mind. His mind is Christ, the mystery of God revealed, where Brother Branham starts explaining it, and he's explaining his plan, his purpose to make himself known, to bring in all of his attributes, all of the things. Right? But look at that scripture now, and you'll see why that I'm reading the whole thing because it's related to the entire message. And I told you to start with when I read Ephesians 1, that in these scriptures is the entire journey of mankind all the way down to where we are. Now, I love the way Brother Branham says it. On Christ the mystery of God revealed, he said, see how it's unfolded itself. Watch. He didn't say all the way. Go back and read it. He said it's unfolded itself down to the present hour. Because it can't be going on. That's future. That's prophetic utterances going to the future. But we can stand here today and say it's unfolded itself down to where we are. Right? All right. See, then that takes the entire journey. All right. But now think about it. Think about what it said. Keep it up on the screen there for a minute because we want to stay with that thought. Now, if you moved four, three, five up and made it four and put four and five, you realize where you would have a problem of understanding. But it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful the way it's written. Because first is the choosing. It's not the predetermining. It's not predetermining before choosing. Come on, you're getting into the wrong idea if you're trying to predetermine before you're choosing. See, then the rest of the people wouldn't have any chance if they're not predetermined. Look how beautiful the scripture is written. That he has chosen, it's already done, us in him before the foundation of the world. All right. So he chose us before the foundation of the world. There's your 126 and 27 man. All right. And I say man because what else are you going to call it? Person, being, soul. People don't like for you to use those terminologies. But the choosing comes first. If it wasn't, he'd be picking you and then choosing. What good would it do to pick you and then choose you? What would it do any good to predetermine you and then choose you? Come on. He first chose us. Then he could predestinate us. And by choosing you, remember, it's not something good. It's not anything. We've got the quotes. But he chose us where? In him. Now, I've made this statement. It sounds silly and stupid and everything else, but I still believe it. That he chose us in him. Now, it's not whether or not I'm accepted is worth anything. Now, that's going to throw you 14 miles away in your mind, but it's whether or not he was chosen. Then all I got to do is find out if I was in him. Then if I can know that I was in him when he was chosen, I had to be chosen. But see, we don't want to take, like I was saying there a moment ago, that when he was here, they brought around and said, we walked with him on the shores of Galilee. He said, we preached with him. He said, we died with him. He said, we went to hell with him. And he said, and we raised with him. Sounds a whole lot like today, just one of these persons that we need to talk about being eternal. Only one eternal life. Huh? And see, now listen, you know for certain he was chosen. Right? Now, are you with me? You know for certain he was chosen. All right? Now, all I got to do is make sure I'm in him. All right. And it says there what? He had chosen us in him. I remember Brother Theo Erasmus, and I've actually got him circled on another one, but there's a good many of them in this Ephesians 1. And Brother, you remember Brother Theo was preaching that time about Jesus, and he said, see there? He said, if you take us out of his name, he said, his name's Jess. That was a good point. He said, notice every time it says us, you remember? And he'd read the scripture and he'd say, okay, now every time I come to that place, you say us, you know, us, us. Because see, he said, without us, he's not Jesus. Well, you know, that's true. He wouldn't be Savior, Redeemer, etc. Father wouldn't be anything without us. All right. But now listen, first is chosen. Now there's his plan and his purpose. See, if you put predestinated first, you would have him handpicking what he wanted, and you would be wrong. But if you put it that we were chosen in him, then by being chosen in him, he could predetermine. I'm a firm believer. I'll get to it this evening, Lord willing. I'm a firm believer in a predestinated seed. But remember, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. The word or seed. All right. Now that's what I'm trying to get us to see back there. We wasn't back there as people. It wasn't Jesus so big that we was all inside of him running around. Why don't you get it right? The eternal life that was in Jesus Christ was before the foundation of the world because that's God. If you have eternal life in your soul, that same God that walked the shores of Galilee is the same God living in you. Why can't we believe what Brother Branham would say? He said, that eternal life in you, that God in you, is the one that created flies, fleas, and frogs. Crossed the Red Sea. Said, I was there with him. Well, see, we want to turn it around and try to make it that, oh, I come with the eternal life in me. Well, then you don't need Jesus for anything. All you need is a knot on the head to kill you. That's not life and joking, but it's truth. That's what I told the two soul people. I said, just kill him. Because that was what their doctrine was. You had one soul that come from the devil and one soul that come from God. All you had to do is kill the one that come from the devil, because the one that come from God always was eternal. That's why they called it two souls. I said, just kill the man. I know I'm sarcastic. That's what I told the Church of Christ guy that day. And I said, all you got to do is be baptized. I said, of course, y'all use Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We don't agree with that, but I'll go along with the story with you. But I said, if that's all it takes, right, that's all it takes, is getting baptized. I said, I'll meet you on Lake Lanier. I said, bring your gun. I said, we just pull a gun out and get into water. Right? You said, that's silly. No, if that's what you believe. If it's the way you believe it. Well, I come with eternal life. Then why did Jesus die for it? Remember, we come in Him. We had to be removed from Him on Calvary. Is that the purpose of the spear in the side? Am I right now? Did Brother Branham say that the bride was in Him and had to be removed? And said when it pierced Him in the side, water and blood came out. See, we had to be released where we could come out to be able to come back right. Then when did we come back right? On the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't you and me. Get that me out of the way. Me, my. I told you, I get so upset with people. I cringe. I want to take you in my car and ride down to my store and buy you some of my food and get you to my. I get upset with that. Because I believe what the Bible said. Everything I have, what? He gave me. What about a God that only requires you to give 10% when you owe Him the whole 100 and plus 10 that you can make extra? It all belongs to Him. Come on. All right. But watch. He chose us. You see why Wednesday night, you think I'd... All of this was Wednesday night to go with the message, and I just had to stop. See, He chose us. And by choosing us, then He predetermined. But now get that body out of the way. Get that spirit out of the way. Get that soul out of the way that come into this world lost. Get it to something that can be done. It can only be the seed or word that can come predestinated eternally. Right? The flesh, all these other things, are predestinated by foreknowledge. Yeah. Because He knew. But do you understand? See, the word choose, run it up where the people can just look at it, because go ahead with the definition of the word choose. Our chosen. 1586 in your Strong Concordance. It means to choose or choose out. This is choose, make choice. To pick out, choose, to pick or choose out for oneself. Chosen one out of many. Jesus choosing His disciples. Choosing one for an office. Of God choosing whom He judged fit to receive His favors and separated and all to His own. The children of Israel were the chosen of God over the people of the land. He chose them. So choosing comes first. Or you don't have a plan and purpose. You have a predetermining factor and that won't work. But if He chose us in Him now, not chose us as beings, as people, as anything of identities of what we are. Body, spirit, soul, whatever we are. As a lost individual, be careful how you're doing that choosing. You better bring it by foreknowledge. All right. But those who he chose, and see, it says chosen us in him. All right. So now look at the next one. Look at predestination. Or predestinated, because really the word predestination is not in the Bible. It's predestinate or predestinated. That's the only two words there is. There's no word predestination in the scripture. All right, it's 4309, which means predestinate means to determine before. It means to ordain. See? Those who he knew, he did predestinate. We'll get on in the scripture. To predetermine. To decide beforehand, in the New Testament of God decreeing from eternity, to foreordain a point before. All right. See, then that way you can't put predetermining first. Are you following me? If you don't get nothing out of the message today, get that. You got to have the choosing and get your choosing correctly, and then he can predetermine. But if you try to do the predetermining first and then the choosing, you're going to be choosing by what something was good or bad. And that will never work. Come on. He didn't choose us because we was good. We've got the quotes. The way it looks now, we're reading this evening. But we got. See, do you follow what I'm talking about? That he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. All right. Then he predetermined, because it says in Ephesians there, having predestinated, having something he's done, predestinated us to a position of adoption by Jesus Christ to himself, what now? According to the good pleasure of his will. Now, there's the words we've read it. We've got it in, I know, for this evening. But part of Christ's in this message, part of Christ's mystery. That what? God had a plan and a purpose. What did he say? He was going to see it achieved. We didn't have to, well, I'll plan it this way, but it might work out, might not. I don't know. No. I'm not going to serve that kind of God. I'm sorry. It may degrade you in your thinking, but I'm not going to serve a kind of God that most people think of. The God of the people of this message, I would not serve him. Because like I said, if you come up to the point you always was eternal, without this way of approaching it through Christ and chosen, then Jesus Christ never had to die. Right? Okay. But what do you think about it? According to the scripture, that he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, to me, now watch what I'm saying. I know what Brother Brown says. He says, because I got it written in my Bible. He says, having predestinated unto adoption, he said, there's the mystery, adoption. Okay. That's wonderful. But now we need to stop and spend an hour explaining something. Adoption according to Romans 8. According to Romans 8, it's in three stages. First is your new birth. Second is the adoption to coming forth into the children of authority. And then the last is to adoption to wit, which means to understand the redemption of the body. Now, it's in three stages, see? So then when the Bible is saying adoption, see, adoption pertained to Israel. That's what the Bible says. And see, they were the chosen. We were not. So he had to adopt us. God had to adopt us. Now we're going to get down eventually to where the statements come into view that Brother Branham will say. See, there, he don't adopt the devil's children. That's a paraphrase, but it's close. He said he adopts his own children. Right. See, then the word adoption could be just like you adopt a child into your family. And that's what God done. He adopted us Gentiles into his family. We were not in lineages and lines. The Jews were. But he adopted us in and brought us to new birth, his adoption. All right. Sorry. When you get to preaching, see, so many things comes out till it just... But what about this chosen? Let's read a few things. Go ahead with number four, brothers, which is Israel and the church. He's talking about according as he had chosen us in him. Who did? I heard it and I come. No, you never. He hath chosen, hath, past tense, hath chosen us, the church, in him. How long ago, Paul? Last week? Or when you heard the revival? No. Before the foundation of the world. Now you can ride on the cloud. See? He's done what? He chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world. All right? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Go ahead. The next one, number five. Questions and answers on Genesis. And watch what he starts off. Let's get what he's talking. Notice, man, God knew in the beginning that he was going to have men and women, and he knew that the Savior would be here. Now, he knew the whole thing, right? He'd have to bring Jesus, and he'd be crucified. And Jesus told the disciples when he was here on earth, that he knew them even before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever come into existence. God said also, or Paul speaking in Galatians, which is really Ephesians, said he ordained us and called us in him before the world was ever formed. He says, think of that. Just think of it. Heavenly places, same quote. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's not pretty good. That's real good. We're going back to chosen us and him. Before there was a foundation of the world, God knew Armand Neville and knew that he'd preach the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Has chose. Why? He's a member of the church. Talking about Brother Neville, right? He's a member of the church. And God knew he was going to have that church. And he said, Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus, said, he has chosen us in him. Now we're all the members of the body of Christ. Is that right? And God, before the world was ever formed, chose you and I in him before the world was ever formed. My, isn't that wonderful? He chose us in him. Now, it wasn't that we was back there to be able to do something good. Why do we want to think, well, I'm just glad I didn't do like Brother Dale. I didn't live like him, and God saved me. Well, glory. But that don't work too good. As a matter of fact, let's turn the story around. It's the ones who are forgiven more that are loved or loves him more. So let's get that out of our ideas that we got some who, oh boy, bless God, I tell you what, I never did drink, I never did chew, I never did, oh, glory, I'm glad I done it that way because that way God could save me. Now, that's not according to Scripture because that's the guy that's over there, you know, in the prayers. I'm glad I didn't do like this man. I'm glad I didn't do it. Lord, I fasted every day. I done all you told me to do. And the Bible said who went home justified? Amen. The poor old sinner that just said, forgive me. So don't get none of those ideas and thoughts to where that you would ever consider any idea that there was anything good about you that made him choose you. It doesn't work that way. Listen, Go ahead to number six. What did he do? This is from Christ a Mystery. Heavenly places. He said, I wish I had time to mark it here in the Bible. Heavenly places. What is heavenly place? Heavenly places, just for a moment, is the believer's position in Christ. See where the believer stands in Christ in heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us. Listen close. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When his great hidden mystery, his great secret, what he had in his mind that he was going to see it achieved. Pull it on up. He has chosen us in him. Run it on up because it goes on up to the next one. Paragraph 184 then said what? Prince was ever on earth. You see his great mystery that he chose the bride. Watch. Knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall. Amen. That would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great, glorious stand. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him. All right. Go ahead to number 7, which is Smyrna in Church Age. Church Age book, paragraph or page 149. Watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God. God is an object of adoration and no one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Now watch. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal, are they not? Well, Brother Dale, you believe in preexistence. I believe in preexistence of eternal life. I don't believe in preexistence of people, body, spirit, souls, or whatever you want to call them. No, I believe in preexistence of God. I believe that was back, if he was before of anything, that was back when he was self-existing. But get the point, it's not just thinking in his mind. But it's to be a thought in his mind or be in a very part of him. Remember we went through it, his thoughts, his attributes. You remember us going through that? Yeah. All right. Think about it then. They are eternal. Look at the next one. Roll it on up. Number 8, which is page 150. He had chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. Amen. Amen. You can't get away from it. What was back there? God. Yep. Right? What's in your soul by the new birth? Right. I mean, is the new birth a second person? You know, God is one and you're one. That don't work. Listen, look at the next one then, which is page 284, Sardesian Church Age book. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life eternal, and he that hath not the Son hath not life eternal. And those who have that life, those who have that life were in him before the foundation of the world. Anything any plainer? They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That great royal seed, Jesus Christ, was planted. He died, and that life was in him, came up through the wheat plant, reproducing itself into multiplied wheat seeds, having the same life in them and being like the original. Because by spirit, they are original. I was trying to express something to Nanny and Sister Trudy last night. See, we don't think why would Brother Branham spend so much time talking about that the seed that ever, you know, that would put it in the ground and graze a tree, ever apple that would ever come off of that tree was in that seed that made the tree. That's beyond comprehension, isn't it? So is it with God. That he was only one, according to what in Galatians 3:16, and unto thy seed, which is Christ. There's only one seed, and that's Christ. Worth anything. Rest of us, none seed is nothing to quicken. What is none seed? What is none seed? Brother Ryan said that in the church age book. None seed is seed that has no life. We've planted enough of it, right? The best you can do is 98 point something, because it'll tell you on the bag, 90% germinated. Which that means they know that every one of them's not. Right? But what about it? They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him. Go on to the next. Let's get a couple more quotes. We'll try to finish this. Look at number 10, which is Hebrews chapter 7. He sent Jesus to make a propitiation for those that he foreknew. You remember, for those he foreknew, he did predestinate on down in the scripture, right? For those who he foreknew, he has called. And those who he called, he has justified. And those who he has justified, he hath, past tense, glorified. Amen. Now, I'm looking at a bunch of garbage can. I'm not looking at anything glorified. And you're looking at a lot of garbage can. He's 240-something pound of it up here. It's not glorified. So this has got to be what God sees. Not what we see. He saw us in him in the beginning. Not him in us. Adam come here with Eve and him. Eve didn't come with Adam and her. But that's the way it's taught. He said, oh, no, it's not taught. Well, then, if you come here with eternal life and don't need a Savior, then you tell me what went wrong. Let's get this one right here, and I'll just preach a second. Go ahead to the next one. Questions and Answers, preached in 1959. They asked the question, were we saved before the, oh, we don't want to stop here, do we? If we were saved before the foundation world, were we? Yes, sir. Revelations 13:8 said that you were saved and your name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world was ever created in Ephesians 1:4-5. Now that's the scripture we've read. Chosen in him and predestinated. But what's the key there? Did you catch it? When were you chosen in him? Because he goes on down and look what he says. When it was, that's when it was for the foundation of the world. What was before the foundation of the world? God existing alone. With his attributes, is that right? His thoughts. Sure, he could think of everything that would ever come into the world. Yeah. But what about dwelling alone with his thoughts? Which is a part of him, is that right? Now, do you realize then that when Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, according to the scriptures and according to the prophet, then you were chosen in him right then. That's when you were chosen. Because that's when your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Or maybe I get it technical, the Book of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Because that's what people, they want to get it all perfectly right. All right. When were you chosen? And Brother Branham, do you need these? If your name was not on the book of life, it will never be on the book of life. Amen. Names can be changed to go in and be put on to the section of the book. But the Lamb's book of life section, you can't take a name out and you can't add one in. Amen. The foolish virgins that are given eternal life do not go into the point of the Lamb's book of life or the book of the life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Only the seed, the word of God, only the children of God are the ones that it's speaking of that your name was written in the Lamb's book of life. So do you see when you were chosen? Now, are you listening? In God's mind. Now, we know 2,000 years ago in reality it come to earth, right? But God couldn't change his thought. Do you think Jesus would have come down? That's why I love Brother Brown's message. They say he's so wrong in the Daniel 70 week. And he gives in there, he said, Jesus come riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, April the 2nd, A.D. 30. He uses the same quote in the seal book. But everybody's wondering why he says 33 and why he says this and why he says that. And he gives you the exact date that it happened. But you see, we don't want it like that. It's too simple. It's too simple to just figure out that Jesus wasn't born on 1 or 0 or starting. He was born before B.C. They can prove that. So you take 4 B.C. to A.D. 30 and you got the 33 years that Jesus lived. Like I said, I was in a meeting one time, and I made a statement. And I said, brothers, this statement here, Brother Branham says, the bride goes up Revelation 4:1 and not seen till 1921. Boy, they went haywire trying to talk about Revelation 10:7 and 18:4. I said, so what? He said, Brother Branham said it. And I said, do you want this one? It's on Feast of the Trumpets, I'm pretty sure. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. I said, now go ahead. Argue with the thus saith the Lord. But you will until it's revealed.
That's right. Amen.
So is it what I'm talking about now? Until it's revealed. Until you have that baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, you will not be able to understand how that your name could be written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world, and you could be chosen in Him. And I'm going to go finish the statement. And even with the point of us being so perverted in our minds and our beings of mankind until it's even hard for the born-again believer to believe the truth. May I quote Brother Branham as I did a while ago? He said, frankly, he said he'd get the bride so confused he'd have to cut the work short. Now, you need that quote? Oh, but I can't be deceived, brother. Why worry about it? You already are. Don't worry about getting deceived. Oh, we swore by the Trinity, didn't we? Man, we swore hell was eternal. We swore by that. We'd fight you about it. It's in the Bible. We believe it. Ain't even in the Word. Every tub sit on its own bottom. Oh, well, that's what the Bible says. Grandma told me that. Listen, are you following me just for a second? When was Jesus crucified? Physically, 2,000 years ago. But when was he really crucified? According to the Bible, he was crucified before the foundation of the world. Now, when he was crucified before the foundation of the world, You could not change the fact that he would come to the earth to be crucified, because that would be the thoughts of God eternal made final manifestation. Then if you wasn't in him then, you'll never be in him on the form of eternal life. It's not coming to earth and then he just said, well, okay, I'll give it to a bunch of people. I'll just give it to them. I'll give them eternal life. But Brother Brown said, if you wasn't back there, you will never be back there. That's why everybody runs to that. See, well, he says, if I wasn't back there, I must have come into the world. And there's a direct quote. You come into the world with eternal life. You always was eternal. But who's he speaking of? You want to tell me you're eternal? Would you mind coming up here and let me just, there's a hammer downstairs, let me get that hammer and see what that toe feels like. And then you tell me you always was eternal. You say, that's stupid. I agree with you, but it's the truth. But do you understand? See, by your name being written on the Lamb's Book of Life, that was when Jesus Christ was slain. And your name was written there. So you were chosen right there. When you come to earth and is lost, we'll get to that. See, then we've got to choose here. But just remember, those who he called, he's just waiting on you to slow down long enough for him to catch up with you to be able to give it to you. Right? Some at early age, some at older ages. Don't make no difference. He's just waiting on you to slow down. Waiting on you to believe him. When Luther saw the just shall live by faith, that was made alive right there in that man's heart. And he challenged the world with it and conquered it. When you receive that new birth, that's eternal life into your soul. You say, yeah, but I always had it. Where was it at? That's all I've ever asked. When you come into the world, you say, well, I had this seed in me. Where was it at? Body, spirit, or soul? And is the new birth the birth of the word you were born within you, or is it according to faith cometh by hearing after you get here? Chosen in him. What? When he died, I died. He went to hell when he come off that cross in God's mind before the world. This is as real as we ever be. He went straight to hell. You know what? I went with him. Why? Because that was that eternal life. I'm not talking about peoples. I'm not talking about souls and beings and this and that and the other or Mormons. I'm talking about eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life. If you come into the world with eternal life, you don't need to be saved. But just as the Lamb that stood as slain before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that, according to the Bible? Yeah. Well, you know what? God, before the foundation of the world, saw me receive eternal life. It's not just a, I think so. What was the quote we gave the other day? Come on, musicians. Where Brother Brown said, we're just not some coincidence happening here. But you see, nobody knew this until this day. They couldn't follow it. The best Paul and him could do was speak of it. They could not express it into terminologies. It's dire. But you could argue the point. But when Brother Branham came and told us these things, then he'd say, well, if you don't believe that, what about Jeremiah, where it says, I knew thee and ordained you a prophet before the foundation of the world. See, I'm going to get down one of these days and preach on something, okay? I'm going to preach on a predestinated seed of people. And you know that the fivefold ministry is predestinated from God, eternal. But the gifts and things are not. Prophets are predestinated eternal. May I quote Brother Branham? He said, so according to Malachi 4. You say, well, that don't give Brother Branham a choice. No, you're messing it up. Well, Brother Branham never had a choice of becoming a prophet. Right. See, that's where you're getting it messed up. Right. Did he have a choice? Did he become a prophet because he wanted to or something happened? No. He was ordained for the foundation of the world. Right. So was the fivefold ministry. Right. But yet we don't want it to carry us through. We don't want what Brother Brown said, that fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, the Bible says it. To bring these things into being, we don't want to take that. We want it that our ideas is predestinated. Well, I'm like this. If a prophet is a predestinated gift, why would not all the gifts, not the gifts that can work and not work and all this stuff, but why not the gifts of the fivefold ministry? Or else, why would your prophet say, what? He said, stay with your pastor. What? What did he say? He's ordained to lead you through. Okay, now, let's go on with the rest of it. If he's ordained. Okay? I don't mind saying that at all. Because everything's not ordained. Luther was ordained to be a messenger of that church age. And there was no way to change that. But Luther had to one day stop long enough for God to be able to drop down into his heart the message. And when he did, he went out and challenged the world. You teach that, tell us, who was it? Was it him? You teach that, said the world. He said, let the world know I'm against them. And one of him or one of the men coming down. Let's stand together. What we got?
398 in the spiral book.
Anybody have a need?
He paid a debt. He did not owe a debt.
Anybody have a need?
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Think about it.
He paid a debt at Calvary.
But as far as God is concerned, set me free. It was over with for the world and God.
That Jesus did all.
We're just living out the pages of the book. The Bible was written before the world.
I now can't sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day
what about
long, Christ Jesus paid a debt.
The same man that would say, and I had him in my quotes, that I chose you before the foundation of the world. That same man says you must be born again.
To live with him eternally, won't it be glory?
Same man said you must be born again.
To see him all that day.
Now just because you're a believer.
I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long,
you're dismissed.
Christ
just remember the services this afternoon, Father.